Good morning. Let's open a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time we can come together and open your word, Lord, and be drawn ever closer to you. We pray that your word would go forth and your message would go forth, and that all the other thoughts would be fallen away, Lord. We just pray that you'd give us all a measure of peace at this time, that we can let go of our cares for this period of time as we look into your word and strengthen our relationship with you, O Lord. We just pray you to bless us and strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. So this started off at the church picnic when Jordan had mentioned that the Lord Jesus quoted the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, the most. And so I took a look at that. And so we're going to start off by reading Psalms 8. So if I can have Gregory come up and read.
All right, let's turn to Psalms 8. And good morning. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of the babes and the sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, and thou mightiest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the sons of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Thank you, Gregory. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. I really like how David started us off here with establishing both the reverence and the personal possession of our Lord. As Joe Smith mentioned this morning during morning worship, it's that personal relationship that we quest for and that we need with our Lord to really grow in him. And then he follows it up with some praise as God's name relates to the earth and the heavens. Verse 2 says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies. I'm glad we can praise the Lord and glorify the Lord at any age. We don't have a waiting period for when you become a believer and then you can eventually participate in worship of the Lord. This is also the first psalm that Jesus quoted in answering the chief priests and scribes from Matthew 21, verse 16. And Nicholas, can I have you come up and read Matthew 21, 12 through 17, please?
Matthew 21, 12 through 17. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him, in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. And said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfect praise. And he left them, and went out of the city into Bethlehem, and he lodged there.
And again, I appreciate the fact that we can praise God at any age. And even that that young age, that age of innocence, the purity of the young believer's praise allows for the perfect worship of our Lord, as he mentions that it's been perfected through the out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. So in this idea, thinking of the young children, the little children, and that was even mentioned this morning in morning worship, so that was even more encouraging that, actually I think it was the song service before we had the little children. Jesus loves the little children. And so then I took a look at, that brought me to Matthew 18, 1 through 5. And Matthew 18, starting at verse 1, says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child and to him and set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like a little child is the greatest of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me.'" So then when we get worried about how complicated our lives are and how involved our daily lives are, we can worship God, we can seek God as a little child, and he will comfort us. And if I can have Anthony please come up and read Matthew 11, 25 through 30.
Matthew 11, starting verse 25. "At that time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man. Thy Father save thy the Son, and he to whomsoever thy Son will reveal him. Come unto me, and ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Thank you, Anthony. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What a great promise that is. Back to Psalm 8, verse 3 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, and the moon and the stars which you have ordained." Another reference to the amazing creative power of our God. It reminds me of John 1, 1 through 3, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Psalm 8, back to verse 4 says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" We are the sons of men as we are born of humans. And so in Psalm 144, verses 1 through 4, it has a similar message. It says, Psalm 144, verse 1 says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow." And this was incredibly humbling, that man is like a breath or like a shadow. And our time on this earth is so incredibly brief. We've talked about it before, as it's like a vapor. Is for one moment and is gone the next. Why are we worth paying attention to? And it goes back to the Creator who created us in his own image. Not only does God know that we exist, he knows the number of our days and the number of the hairs on our heads. He knows the number of the hairs on our heads. Jesus is the perfect Son of Man. And that actually came up in the morning worship this morning, too. We mentioned that the Son of Man must be lifted up. He represents us all in that he came to the earth, suffered all the afflictions of man: pain, temptation, humiliation, and so much more. Yet he never sinned, in true compliance with the law. So he owed no debt for sin, but he owed no debt for sin, but we did. And it reminds us in John 3, verses 13 through 17. John 3, starting at verse 13, says, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." We owed a debt we couldn't pay, and he paid a debt he didn't owe. That's we've talked about that before as grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Even here, it reminds us that despite the Lord Jesus dying on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, he is not dead. He is not in the grave. He is risen and is seated at the right hand of the Father. The other place that I found that this was referenced was in Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 5. And it said, starting at verse 5 in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, "For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to the angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things under subjection of his feet.'" We're going to see that again in Psalm 8. "For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." for it was fitting for him for whom are all things and for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make captain of their salvation perfect through suffering, both for both he who sanctifies and he who and those who are being sanctified are one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And when I think of being brethren with Christ, it makes me think of Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What a great switch from the sons of man to the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. For we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. Again, drawn to that family of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. And again, drawing that common relationship, he suffered, we suffer. He's glorified, we will be glorified together. And here we've talked about sons of God, heirs with brethren with Christ, and we're going to get into this more into the Spirit in just a minute. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For earnest expectations of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from bondage of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans with labor pains and birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Don't we all need a little more encouragement and support, especially in our weaknesses? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us in groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the image of his Son, that we might be more like him, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Again, that relationship, our brother in Christ. Moreover, he predestined that these he also called, whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? For if God be for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is risen, and who is even at the right hand of God and makes intercessions for us. So we have the Holy Spirit making intercessions for us. We have Christ making intercessions for us. We are well represented through our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness, peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present nor things come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a great relationship we have, an opportunity to enjoy each and every day. If we look at Psalm 8, back to verse 5, it says, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and put all things under his feet. Here we can remember that we have been made in the likeness of God, and a little lower than the angels, yet we have power over all of the animals and all of the things of this earth, all the living things of this earth. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. This made me think of Ephesians 1. And I'll let's see, Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. And it says, and he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And back to Psalm 8, verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Here David ends it just like he started it, with a strong setup of praise and our required relationship with our Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father. If you'd please sing with me, number 33 in the black book, Abba Father. Abba Father, we approach thee in our Savior's precious name. We thy children here assemble, this is to thy presence claim. From our guilt his blood has washed us, as through him our souls draw nigh. And thy Spirit too has taught us, Abba Father, thus to cry. Once as prodigals we wander in our folly far from thee, but thy grace o'er sin abounding rescued us from misery. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love to us, Lord, and the amazing relationship you've provided that we can be your children and heirs with your Son, Lord. We just pray that you'd strengthen us, pray that your word would go forth, and we know that your word does not return unto you void, Lord. We pray that you'd help us to remember the things of you and let go of all the things of this world. And we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.